Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
Quite a day today, or quite a week it's been, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been something. Good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you, too. U.S. Supreme Court, obviously leading the legal news of the day, if not the week or the year.
Did something happen?
Yeah, you might have heard. 5-4, U.S. Supreme Court did not get involved in a rather controversial Texas law that basically deputizes citizens to be able to collect up to $10,000 bounties on people who are trying to have abortions or give abortions after the 6-week limit. And after Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood, the current state of the law is that there should not be any restrictions up to the point of viability, which has traditionally been 22 to 24 weeks. Interestingly, the way this law was written, if people are wondering why or what the rationale is for the U.S. Supreme Court having 5 votes not to get involved. And by the way, interestingly, my 3-3-3 theory does not work here, obviously, because Chief Justice Roberts sided with the three what are termed liberal justices.
I've heard them called worse.
and the reason that they did not get involved is, number one, they say it's not a state action, meaning it's not the government, it's basically the government deputizing, and the issue of arguably future harm, and that there isn't, that it isn't ripe yet, so to speak. It's worked its way up to the Supreme Court rather quickly, but they declined to take it. They declined, first of all, to stay it, and then declined to take it at this point.
Are you aware of any other states that have tried to go about something this way? I mean, I've seen all kinds of challenges to these sorts of laws, but I've never seen them go around a side door and say it's not illegal, but if someone does it, then citizens are allowed to come after them for a predetermined amount of money. That's an unusual tactic.
It is an unusual tactic. It's a legal kind of maneuver that, as far as I can tell, this is the first time they've been able to do it. Unless when this works its way up, which it inevitably will, and I believe it may be on the docket, or it may have already been argued a direct challenge to Casey versus Planned Parenthood, and I think it's out of Mississippi. Or another southern state. The only way that this is not unconstitutional is if there's going to be 5 votes that are going to overrule Roe v. Wade or Casey specifically. And if that's the case, then they don't need, so to speak, this kind of backdoor route. But I think the backdoor route is an interesting legal gambit, which has now forced the White House to take a reaction or to be reactive. One of the things the people have been suggesting or talking about is sending doctors to perform abortions at VA facilities or VA hospitals. because VA hospitals are federal property. And so that would be arguably one way around this in the interim until it's able to get in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not when this law gets up here, if this is the particular law or whether the other one that's presently, I think, at a 12-week viability or a 12-week limit is the one that actually topples Roe v. Wade. And for those who, I mean, there's been quite a, I've been kind of following all of the commentary on this today. And it really, even Adam, I think, said 6 weeks seems even crazy to him.
I saw that tweet. All right, I'll pull an Adam move here. I'm going to pick an arbitrary date, but come Valentine's Day, where are we sitting with this law? Is this still in the news? Is this law still on the books? Have we been to the Supreme Court? Have they changed their mind and decided to weigh in? What do you think the future of this topic looks like?
If you're going to prognosticate, I think this issue is going to be forced sooner rather than later. It may be forced by when the executive branch, and namely DOJ, may get involved here rapidly. My guess is that you will see Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, do something in short order. And it'll be interesting to see. I've read all kinds of theories today, and I'm not so convinced that any of them are going to be the ultimate plan that they move on here. I don't think Congress has the wherewithal to do anything. So I think it's going to ultimately rest with DOJ to do something here. And they've been given their marching orders, apparently, from the White House earlier this morning.
Well, that is something that we will definitely be keeping an eye on, and I don't think we'll have any shortage of stuff to cover there. There's two more stories I want to get to today in our little mini-sode. We have a fun episode planned for this Saturday that we'll be recording with Adam tomorrow. But for this one, I've got two more stories. I've got one that's a little bit lighter and one that's a little bit heavier, and I'm going to let you pick the order.
Let's end with light and go another heavy.
Fair enough. All right. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado, where in a reversal from 2019, the Colorado Attorney General has announced that there is now enough evidence to file 32 counts, including manslaughter, against 5 men, 3 police officers and 2 paramedics who encountered Elijah McClain after apparently a 911 call reporting a suspicious person in a ski mask. They came up upon Elijah, who was simply walking home from a convenience store and had committed no crime. And in the process of the ensuing incident, they tackled this guy, got him down to the ground, performed, you know, restraining tactics on him, and then had paramedics show up and inject him with ketamine, and he ended up dying of a heart attack on the way to the hospital. And after quite a bit of protest and, you know, a lot of angry people on social media, time has evolved, and now there's actually going to be charges in this case.
Right, and they've got manslaughter, and I think the unusual thing here is, as you just mentioned, that it wasn't just police, but it was EMS personnel or more than one also charged here. And the injection of the, yeah, too. And so the injection of the ketamine obviously is going to be central to the causation of the charges. And I believe they filed it as manslaughter.
Correct.
And it's about 2 years after the fact. This is a case that is just at many levels inexplicable. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I look forward to seeing how it unfolds and how the evidence unfolds, because there's so many questions behind it. I mean, the injection of ketamine, why the escalation to the level of force is inexplicable.
There's some of that on the record that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, the EMS is determined that he was suffering from an excited delirium, and it was later determined that they had no frame of reference to be making that diagnosis, and that was an unreasonable thing for them to do. So it just seems like it it almost seems like this guy was walking down the street and he got 8 coin flips that all went the wrong way against him. And he ended up losing everything over it. And it'll be interesting to see how the case plays out. I'm sure you'll have a lot of experience with similar incidences with police on the stand and so on and so forth.
Then the light will end with the light. This was one that you, fascinates you.
I don't even know if there's a legal angle here, but it's just so much fun. And there was a new development that I found 5 minutes before we started that I don't even know if you've seen yet. But this is the story of Bishop Sycamore, which is not a thing, apparently. But for a minute, a lot of people thought that was a high school. And for a minute, a lot of people thought they had a football team. And for a minute, ESPN went, yeah, you can play on TV. So this criminal basically went around and found a bunch of former junior college football standouts who have either been cut or dropped or aged out or whatever. And he put together this fake football team and he somehow convinced ESPN to put them on TV. And now the stories are coming out that after they were found out, they all left a giant bill at a Canton hotel where they had been playing and they just stiffed the hotel. And now the hotel's freaking out going, what the hell? And, I just have to talk about it because I just think it's so fun. But I was saying to you and a few of our colleagues on a group text, I don't know what the legal angle is here. I don't know why this should be talked about on Reasonable Doubt, but it's too fun.
I've heard, our friend Dan Lust has been deep into this story.
Yeah.
People have been deep into whether they're going to have merchandise, who's going to own the rights to the merchandise, whether or not the hotel, I wonder who the hotel may sue. I've also heard tell that maybe there's an issue here with ESPN and the agency that was behind vetting this, but it really is. It is quite a story. I mean, it's only in the U.S. and I guess lighthearted and a welcome reprieve from a lot of heavy things going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so much fun. It's I would be frustrated if that was my kid out there going against 22-year-old adult men who are it's a full contact sport. That's dangerous. So I would be frustrated for sure if I was on the other side. But as an outsider, I'm just having fun watching Dan buy Bishop Sycamore T-shirts from Barstool Sports and lying to his wife about it. I mean, it's just the whole thing is so much fun. And every time I see a Bishop Sycamore, I'm like, ooh, what's next? There's new stuff. This is great. So I don't know.
I don't think this story is over by a long shot.
Sure isn't for me. And as long as you people, you and Adam are foolish enough to let me in front of a microphone, I'm keeping this alive. So we'll ride Bishop Sycamore to the moon. All right. So that's it for today. We have a great show this Saturday with Adam and Mark, and you guys can look forward to that. And we'll see you then. Mark, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Gary. Always good to see you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.